Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Good morning and happy new year to all. Hi, I'm Tom Davis along with Larry Glass, and it is time for the Green Country Gardener program. I hope you had a great couple of holidays there with Christmas and New Year's, Larry.
Yeah, we had a good time. The wife and I had a good time together at home. Just kind of hung out, cooked. Oh, I learned how to make biscuits.
You did.
That was good, yeah.
Well, last time I saw you, you're getting ready to smoke some meat. And how'd that project
work out? Really well. And I've got a turkey all brined up yesterday.
Ooh, yeah.
Got to put the hickory on the fire. It's going to be a little bit wet. Might be a bit of a challenge to get it started, but the turkey is nothing better than hickory smoked turkey.
Anyway. Good stuff. How are we doing in the garden this time of year? Besides cold.
Well, look out the window.
Yeah,
what?
I see out the
get
window.
Get out of here. What?
I had to report on it yesterday all day. Thought it was going to be a mail-in. Hey,
we actually couldn't see the grass for a while. That was pretty cool. I like that. Uh-huh. Very nice. Uh-huh. So that gives us a good moisture in the ground, and the plants are loving it. They're going to be able to tolerate the ensuing cold weather much better. As long as there's moisture in the ground, a lot of your plants will do a whole lot better. And I would say right now we don't really have to worry too much about watering our plants.
No. Not at all.
It is a good time, however, to plant trees in the landscape.
Yep.
But I wouldn't worry about it yet. Maybe you can pick some out, and we can bring them out whenever you want them.
Thaws a little.
That kind of a thing, So it's still a good time for that. Most of your shrubs can be planted right now. Most plants will show some leaf damage due to the cold that's going to come on, but they'll be all right. They'll come out just fine. So don't worry about your shrubs that might look a little bedraggled at this point. They'll snap out of it.
Yeah.
However, it is time to maybe do some trimming and pruning. I noticed that my cherry laurels yesterday were kind of bent over a little bit.
Ooh.
But they popped right back up after the snow.
A little snow, a little ice that get a little droopy and then thaws a little bit, they're back.
So go out and the branching structure on your tree is open. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Look for damage. I drive around and see a lot of broken branches and things on trees. And that's just an open invitation for insects and diseases on your trees if you don't do anything about trimming them up good and square.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have a wound or something that's as big around as this pop bottle, then you might want to put a little paint on it just to seal it up a little bit.
Good.
So always cut it fairly flush to the trunk, though, when you do cut it off. I see a lot of people, I trim a tree, but they leave these
knobs and
coat racks on their tree. You know? What, are you going to hang your coat up on that? No, cut it further down. You really don't want a stub sticking out.
No, you don't.
The tree, when the tree heals after being cut, which is essentially the tree perceives it as a wound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bad human, you wounded me. And it encapsulates that with some healing tissue. And that's how it does it. And if there's a stub sticking out, it really can't go out and around that. That's why you have to cut it flat to the trunk so the healing tissue will heal over much more quickly and all that, too. So, anyway, time to do a little pruning in there, too. So check for damage to the weight of the snow. Look for splits in branches and cracked bark. Trim back damaged branches. Also, your fruit trees, time to cut those back a little bit, too. I have some plum trees with some, my plum jelly is becoming kind of famous. But nonetheless, I hope the last year they got frozen out.
Ooh.
Oh, a good crop. Oh, and hundreds of plums. And it froze, and they all fell to the ground.
Oh, gosh. I remembered that.
Yeah.
Looked out the window and said, well, not so much this year, huh?
So you guys are going to have to get on the stick and make some good weather for the spring. Yeah. So anyway, so it's a good time to look at your fruit trees, do some pruning, get those big old water sprouts off of there. Look for damaged, broken branches on your fruit trees and stuff like that. You really don't want some sickly, diseased trees. They don't make good fruit that way. So time to do that also. And it's a little late to try to do any systemic insecticide control on the fruit trees right now. I wouldn't do that at this point. Do you, imidacloprid? Now, there's some contentious back talk, I guess, on the imidacloprid and its effect on honeybees. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to apply the borer control on your fruit trees at this point. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a topical application you can apply that would be the spinosad, which does a good job of controlling borers. Mm-hmm. But the borers aren't active at this point in time, so you probably will have very little, if any, effect on the borer control if you were to apply it at this point. Mm-hmm. We're going to wait till it warms up. So basically, we have all winter long to trim up those fruit trees and your mm-hmm. other trees to get them in good shape. Kind of the same thing with your shrubs as well, too. But a lot of times, if we cut our shrubs back this time of the year, mm-hmm. they look ugly for a long time. So you want to wait till Valentine's Day or mm-hmm. between that and, say, St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. It's when we had the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Ooh, yeah. Middle of February is only 6 weeks away, people.
I know.
Time to sharpen up those loppers and get the chains all started. I actually got mine started. Uh-huh. We had an ice storm about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think I bought the last chainsaw in town to clean up my backyard. And it sat for 15 years.
Oh, my. Sheesh.
That took a bit of work to get that thing going, but it starts right up now. So, but anyway, so you want to make sure your equipment's kind of ready, too, for pruning and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So sharpen the shears or maybe get a new set of loppers or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So anyway, it's kind of it's also a good time to plan for your landscape. Spring's coming up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is January.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is January.
Yeah, January the 2th.
I know, I'm just kidding.
I know.
So in about 2 months,
uh-huh.
February, March, people will be thinking about, oh, God, I got to do something to my landscape. Ugh. Well, anyway, call us up, get a design, get all that out of the way, get your budget set up so you know what expense is coming up on that too, so you can plan for it. So when the time comes, you've got a roadmap you can follow to improve your landscape, to enhance the value of your house so it doesn't mm-hmm. look like an overgrown, abandoned cottage somewhere. So anyway, you want to go ahead and call for an appointment, and you can have you come out. Yeah, you can measure your property, and you can present a landscape plan. I really like it when I get people's emails, and that way I can send them copies of the landscape plan,
mm-hmm.
as well as perspective views and all that. And that's really cool because you can see it in the resolution. I go ahead and send out a very high-resolution image, and then you can get a good idea of what it looks like.
Wow, you can sit there and
no jaggies. No jaggies, no blurred, letters or anything else.
Mm-mm.
It's clear as a bell in a PDF or JPEG format. So
works out pretty good. You really get a great idea of how it might just look right there at your home.
Right. They
get or some, business, for
they get
matter.
Some people who get it. Well, so I can't see the whole thing. It's all too big. Well, you hit the little control button and the little scroll mouse thing to zoom in and out.
Shrink it down if you need
you
to.
Yeah, you can zoom in and out on these images, too. They don't have to be, when you get it, sometimes it's, what do I do?
I can only see three leaves. Hang on here.
I think the keyword is F11.
It is.
And that'll zoom it out just fine. So anyway, the resolution's kind of high, and that's for a reason, so you can see the details.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we can do that, and golly, people get thrilled when they see what their house can look like, all brand new and all that, too. So anyway, give us a shout, and your house is really your largest investment, and it only makes good sense to preserve its value.
Very good.
I mean, people spend all this time waxing their cars and buying fancy wheels from them and all that on something you're just going to throw away. But a house is something that appreciates in value, and mm-hmm. you've got to keep it up.
So. You do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So anyway, get that landscape plan done. Let's get ready.
All righty. Let's take a little break here. We're going to come back with more of our Green Country Gardener program and your phone calls, too, at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you call United Rentals Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. But most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry Glass is our expert. I'm Tom Davis, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. We talked about getting that landscape plan in order in our last segment. Where are we up to now?
Let's talk about our tree of the week.
Tree of the week.
And this is one that's not well known, but it is a pretty plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Quanzan cherry.
Mm.
Prunus cervulata. Anyway, it grows about 30 feet tall, 30 feet wide. Mm-hmm. In the landscape, that's not a big plant. When we consider trees get 100 feet tall.
Boy, some do, don't they?
It has no fruit. It is somewhat tough and drought tolerant. Prefers a well-drained, sunny spot for best growth characteristics. In the spring, it is loaded with clear pink double blooms. About early to mid-spring or so.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a good small shade tree. It does not litter except for the flowers.
Oh, how do you like that?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to landscape around a pool, especially swimming pools are out in the open, a lot of sun. You want some flowers. Well, what's your first thing you want to plant? Crepe myrtles.
Sure.
Wrong. They drop.
But they would look so nice, but yeah, hey, what's that debris?
What's all that stuff stuck in the pump? Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, this one gives you some color. I like to use it near patios or something like that because it does give a kind of a small umbrella,
mm-hmm.
if you will. And it does very nicely. It's very drought tolerant. It has interesting bark this time of year, too. So the Quanzan cherry, it's kind of like what they have on the reflecting pool. Or the tidal pool, rather, in Washington, D.C.
I see.
Those are Yoshino cherries. But, mm-hmm. but these have a double bloom on them. And they really make quite a show when they're open and in bloom. Fall color is good on them, too. You have red leaves on them. So
you get two very nice shows out of this.
Exactly. And they're kind of easy to manage, too.
Mm-hmm.
The pests, however, include borers and leaf-eating caterpillars. So what do we have in Oklahoma? Boars and
caterpillars. Lots of them. Kansas, too.
So, that's the only drawback of this particular plant.
Yeah.
But golly, the rewards. With the new stuff out there, the imidacloprid, it's so easy to control all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some organics out there, too, that are very effective against both of these little critters. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's just a little bit of maintenance.
Just a little.
Yeah, if you want something that's completely no maintenance, about the same size, but doesn't have any flowers to speak of, you might consider a deciduous holly.
Okay.
Something that's kind of similar in size. I have one in my backyard. I do nothing to it. absolutely nothing.
And it appreciates it.
And right now, it has a full color. It's the berries on it.
Wow. Yeah. Contrasting against this little light snow, probably it's pretty
kinda
scenic.
It's really kind of showy. It's not as much showy this year as it was last year. Mm-hmm. Kind of having an off year. And I noticed that on the deciduous holly all over town. They're having a bit of an off year. Mm. But next year will probably be a zinger.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, less of them. But anyway, back to the Kwanzaa and cherry. It grows moderately to rapid. Mm-hmm. And the leaves are about 2 inches long, 1 inches, 1 inch wide, and serrated along the edge. The venation on them is parallel. Fall color is yellow to red, depending on the weather, and it should be considered in the landscape for its dramatic flower show and ease of growth, ease of maintenance. As long as you don't let it get too dry or too wet or something like that, mm-hmm. A good, healthy tree does a very good job of resisting borer attacks just due to its being very healthy. And the caterpillars, well, that's just Oklahoma.
So it's going to happen.
Anyway, this is a good one. The deciduous holly is a native to the area. Uh-huh. And if you look off the side of the road, you might have your passenger looking when you're going down the road. You see these little bit of red things in the wilderness. Well, those are deciduous hollies. They have red berries on them right now. And the berries on them at this point are kind of starchy. And the birds really aren't attracted to them at this point.
Makes it difficult to fly with all that starch in your
mouth. I know.
They land pretty hard, too.
Yeah. Anyway, the sugars are not set up in it yet.
Yeah.
So later on in late February, early March, though, is when the starches go converted to sugars, mm-hmm. and the birds just go crazy over this one. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, bird berries.
So tree of the week, we talked about a small tree. Mm-hmm. And that would be what I like. Another thing I like about the Kwanzaa and cherry is the root system is not invasive. It's deep.
Oh, good.
So you can plant it close to, say, a patio. You might make a patio out of blocks, patio blocks or something. Mm-hmm. And you don't have this warping of the surface.
Stuff just coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And you have these molehills in your patio. But anyway, this is a good one for that. So, and it doesn't make a mess in the summertime.
Good.
So anyway, that leads us to the shrub of the week, which is the flowering quince. Flowering quince is an old-fashioned favorite. It's kind of a companion to the forsythia. Mm-hmm. The flowering quince could be in bloom anytime from now until, say, middle of March. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the weather and all that. If we have a warm spring, it will bloom before the leaves come out. If we have a cool spring, the flowers will stay on it, and the blooms and the flowers will emerge at the same time.
How do you like that?
There's not a showy then. Mm-hmm. And the flowering quince is kind of an old-fashioned favorite. Mm-hmm. For the most time, it's kind of a useless plant, really, mm-hmm. until it blooms. But it's an old-fashioned thing. Mm-hmm. I like to put it way off in the landscape somewhere, mm-hmm. and because it's appreciated in such a narrow time of the year, if, say, you want a privacy edge or a border or a just a hedgerow of some kind, mm-hmm. of different species of plants. This is one that'll give you a bit of sparkle in the spring.
Okay.
And other than that, it's a very carefree, zero to no maintenance plant. So the flowering quince is one that I kind of like. It has pink to red flowers early in the spring, blooms on old woods, so watch your pruning practices. In other words, don't prune it right now. And so it's relatively pest-free, long-lived, and highly adaptable. It has thorns and can get rather large, so give it lots of room to grow. There are some dwarf cultivars that exist. There's a Japanese one I really, really like. Mm-hmm. It has leaves or flowers on it that look like apple blossoms. Mm-hmm. And we did a billboard a long time ago, and I had one of those growing in my backyard. I took a picture of it and used it for the backdrop of the billboard. And it's really quite attractive when it blooms. Mm-hmm. So, and it, like I said, it's a very low-care plant, mm-hmm. Chenomeles speciosa, flowering quince. Okay. House plants, what to do now? Winter's a slow time for house plants. We are coming out of the winter solstice. The days are getting a little bit longer. But nonetheless, the available light is somewhat limited, especially when it's cloudy and when it snows. Mm-hmm. They're saying we might have some more snow today a little bit, but nonetheless...
If it's kind of a slow time,
so really don't, huh?
If it happens, it'll be this afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, looking at the weather chart, But anyway, don't try to encourage very much growth at this point. mm-hmm. because there's just not enough available light. Plants mm-hmm. are solar powered. So, yeah. So without all that energy, if you fertilize it and really water it, it'll just kind of sit there and say, well, what are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. You'll have a bunch of leggy.
No, there's no way I can synthesize
you
this.
Have a bunch of leggy, stretchy growth on it. So try not to encourage too much growth on your house plants at this time. Mm-mm. It's a good time for repotting, too.
Yeah.
People bring in their house plants. A lot of them are so pot-bound, they're just screaming to get out of that pot.
I bet they are.
And then you repot it, and it goes...
I can breathe again.
You can breathe again. So you might want to consider repotting your houseplants if you have some that mm-hmm. are pretty old and been in pot bound for some time. Mm-hmm. You also look at the inside rim of your pot on your houseplants. Mm-hmm. And if you have some crust on it, that's a lot of times that's calcium from the water and other mineral deposits from mm-hmm. the water. And when you get that buildup like that on there, sometimes there's salt associated with it. And it's time to leach it and repot it. Sounds like a rather dramatic process.
Medieval. Leach it and repot it.
Leaching is just a matter of watering it real heavily and just let it run through. And mm-hmm. water it again, just let it run through.
Yeah.
It gets rid of all the minerals mm-hmm. that are in there. And we do have some minerals in our water.
We do.
And when you water a plant, a lot of the water evaporates. And what stays there is the minerals in the water.
That's that residue that you have all
exactly,
yeah.
And it builds up. Also, you have salts associated with the soil, too. They mm-hmm. kind of crust up on the top also, et cetera, et cetera. And so you do need to leach it occasionally, and I wouldn't do it today. You might freeze your philodendron, and then.
Well, I, yeah.
But we've got more.
Speaking of we got more of the show coming up here in just a moment. It's 8:30. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Peters True Value in Dewey has a sale going on that you just can't pass up. Through January 24th, 2021, get great bargains. A Fat Max 25-foot by 1 1/4-inch tape rule for $14.99. Inflate your tires with ease with a Master Mechanic Dial Gauge Tire Inflator for $19.99. Pick up a Master Mechanic's 5A Jigsaw for $29.99 or a DeWalt 5-inch single-speed random orbital sander for $49.99. Shop the New Year sale at Peters True Value in Dewey and save.
St. Jude exceeds any expectation or any dream I could have ever had about a hospital. First was getting David here to save his life. But then I was told we wouldn't get a bill. I didn't quite process that. How's this possible? It's possible through all the wonderful people who donate.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. If you think about that, I mean, go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine.
The research here is research that we share with everyone else because overall, we want to help all children that have cancer. What makes that possible is people that give to St. Jude. They really help us to fulfill our mission, and we're so grateful to have them on our team.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
K1 News Drive at 5 with Garrett Giles, sports with Max Gross. Everything you need to know before you get home. K1, the one you trust.
Good morning and welcome back. It is the Green Country Gardener program, and of course our phone lines are open toll-free for you today, as it is each and every Saturday at this time at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis, and he's Larry Glass, and he's our expert. We're talking about freezing off our philodendrons when we take our
yeah,
break.
You know, well, some people, they'll want to repot their plants and do it outside, but today wouldn't be a good day for that, but anyway. However, on your house plants, you do want to water them sparingly, and fertilize very lightly. I recommend mm-hmm. Osmocote for your house plants.
There you go.
Osmocote is this coated fertilizer that every time you water, it uses osmosis.
Uh-huh.
And when you water it, it carries a little bit of the fertilizer down into the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it in a 4-month formulas too, mm-hmm. that lasts a long time. Takes the worry out of over fertilizing and forgetting to fertilize and so on. Mm. Makes your houseplants nice and healthy.
Ah.
A lot of times people buy a plant and at the nursery, they put it up on the countertop and these little round spheres will come out of it. They look like bug eggs.
Bug eggs.
Bug eggs. But no, that's the Osmocote fertilizer.
Okay, good.
So somebody from a long time ago said, what are them bug eggs? I couldn't help but breaking up laughing. Oh, that's fertilizer.
That's good for the plant.
Exactly. So you might consider getting some Osmocote, too. It's good for your other plants as well. Annual of the week. This week is impatiens. Impatiens are a tropical plant.
Mm-hmm.
And impatiens bloom all the time. They're very easy to grow. It's an annual plant, though. You don't want to plant them right now. They're not even available right now.
No.
But what I like about them is...
I'm getting impatient for my impatiens.
They tolerate the shade real well.
They do.
And they do like a fairly loose organic soil. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get some impatiens, you might consider getting some compost as well and work it into the soil.
Got to work that dirt.
You bet. And they don't seem to have very many pests, actually. The impatiens don't.
They don't? Mm.
No, the bugs don't bother them. Mm. Kind of like periwinkles. They don't bother them either. And... the only drawback is they tend to get maybe a little bit of a mite on them or something.
Mm-hmm. It
causes them not to bloom. But that's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't plant impatiens maybe 2 years in a row. You might offset with begonias perhaps the next year, maybe some coleus.
Kind of rotate them around.
Rotate them around a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. So impatiens are, golly, they just color all the time. And there's several varieties. There's a standard impatiens, St. Pauli impatiens. And then you have the New Guinea impatiens, which is a larger form of that,
mm-hmm.
and the new sun patiens.
Mm.
Sun patiens, we planted those in a lot of commercial applications mm-hmm. and things, and they do really well. They like the sun. For impatiens, that's pretty good.
Typically, it's considered basically a shade plant. Yeah.
The English call them busy lizzies.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. but
they're good at... putting little nicknames on things,
yeah,
aren't they?
Lots of blooms, yeah. But anyway, the sun patiens get fairly tall. They'll get about 12 to 15 inches tall or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you right away when they need water.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. They have, with the impatiens, that's why you want a very good loose soil so you can get a real heavy root on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do need a lot of water. And they tend to deflate pretty bad if they get too dry. But they'll pop right back up.
Yeah.
As soon as the sun goes away in the middle of the night, they're back up in the morning, ready to go.
So. You know, we were talking about getting the clippers and the loppers and the chainsaws ready, and look who comes in.
Oh.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Kevin.
Hey, what about that Georgia sweatshirt you got on?
How about them dogs, yes.
Man, I'll tell you what, they waited till the end to get it done.
I guess so.
So, anyway.
That's my alma mater. University.
Alma mater?
Alma mater. Alma mater potato. Anyway.
Larry, I got to tell you, it's wet at my house.
No kidding.
Gosh. You know, it was just getting where I could get out and do a few things, and I did. I started piling mulch up around down there at the gate by the crepe myrtles. I was kind of piling up mulch with mm-hmm. my tractor buckets full, you know. And I was just getting where I could get around to do that. And now this.
All the water west of Camelot Drive dumps into your property.
It's right on me. And, you know, feeding cattle in this is just no fun.
Yeah. You need one of them robotic dog things.
So, I'm out there slopping around.
Yeah.
I put on my milking boots to...
I hear it, too. Moo!
Man. But anyway, we're only about 8 weeks from spring.
Yeah.
6 weeks, whatever. We'll start thinking about it anyway,
yeah.
Won't we?
Yeah, it's time for the show up in Kansas, too. Can't wait for that.
I know. It's going to be a couple weeks later, but...
Yeah.
Than normal, but that's okay. Our big farm and home show up there. And
that is a lot of fun.
It is. So, be the last weekend of March this year.
Well, hopefully all this virus stuff will be out of here by then. So.
Well, it's not going to be gone, but we'll be well on our way, and so we can, anyway.
Manageable.
It'll be manageable.
Yes.
That's right. And, but anyway, the only good thing about this moisture, it is good for those live oaks. Now, that is a deciduous, that's a deciduous type holly, isn't it?
What, a live oak?
Yeah.
No.
Which is the deciduous hollies?
That's ilex.
Ilex?
Yeah. A live oak is a quercus. It's a different species altogether.
I know, but I'm telling you, the live oaks in Georgia.
Yes.
Wow.
I know, down south.
They're impressive.
You bet. Yeah, you need to go down to Charleston and see the angel oak.
Oh.
It's a beautiful thing.
But my live oaks do look pretty good.
Yeah, I know. They're looking good.
They look good. And I remember, I don't know how many years after the zinger. Remember the zinger we had in 2011? In 2011. You had some at the nursery that were small.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you and Gary said,
take
if you want these things, get them out of here.
Get them
I don't
out of
want
here.
Them. And they weren't very big. And I planted, there was like two or three of them. Mm-hmm. You should see those trees now.
Yes.
They're impressive.
I have a water oak in my backyard that was in the dumpster.
I know.
And no leaves on it, popped it in the ground. Now it's, it's just bigger around the
so the thing is, don't ever give up on them, right?
No, don't ever give up.
Don't give up on them.
Rescue trees, like it.
Just water them when
they need it. These are rescue. Hey, that flowering shrub you talked about that flowers in January. It's like a forsythia, but it's not.
Yeah, flowering quince, yeah. It's it blooms at the same time, approximately, as a forsythia. If the weather conditions are right, if you guys can get the weather right, they'll bloom at the same time. Hmm. So
really?
Yeah, it's in your hands, buddy.
But it's tougher than the forsythia. Is that what you're trying to say? Is it tougher than the forsythia?
I think so, yeah. It lasts longer than the forsythia. The forsythia, whatever. It'll last maybe 7 to 10 years, and it'll get an anthracnose of the stem, and it'll kind of die out a little bit.
Huh.
But the flowering quince will last a whole lot longer than that. And both of them will colonize. In other words, the branches, they go out in this arc.
Mm-hmm.
And that roots in the ground, and that goes, and it roots, and it roots, and roots. Makes a bramble, if you will.
If I could get a dry day or two, I've got some more places I can spray Roundup on, too. Because I got to tell you, seriously, Larry, I sprayed that day, I told you. I went out there, and I sprayed everything. And that fescue's dying back now.
Yes.
And I think I've got those pretty purple flowers, too.
Oh, you'll get the henbit. It's out,
the henbit.
Yeah. Now, last week was a ground floor opportunity to put on your Roundup because
it was dry and warm.
And warm and everything.
And
the greener grass is dormant and all that.
But I said, it doesn't matter. And the other thing that I did, doesn't matter, I've already done them. So, but I do want, you tell people to get prepared. I have prepared part of my yard, part of it. Not a lot because it's a lot of area to cover.
Well, your yard is as big as some towns.
No, I'm talking about the yard by the house.
Oh, grass.
Grass that I try to keep edged and trimmed,
exactly.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Rest of it the cows take care of.
They take care of it.
Yeah.
Except outside the one place, and we just kind of mow it down.
I know.
But that's where I've been spraying the Roundup. But I did spray portions of my yard when it was still green with Roundup.
Oh, huh.
To kill that Bermuda in that area in places. And then I went in and scalped it down after it was dead.
The Bermuda grass.
The Bermuda.
Right.
Because I'm going to go in. See, I've been preparing like you told me to prepare.
Right.
I want to go in and start putting some zoysia in there
and
see if I can't get it to start taking over.
There's a variety of zoysia called Matrella.
Matrella.
Matrella. It is so thick and dense that it just takes over.
What about...
Very, very slowly, though.
What about Palisade?
That'd work, too.
Uh-huh. It's pretty good.
All the zoysia grass, I think, is a superior grass for many reasons.
It chokes the weeds out, even.
It does. Very dense, yeah.
It is dense.
If I could go back in time, I'd have gotten a big old excavator and dug all that rock and dirt out of my front yard.
And you'd have put zoysia.
And I'd put 12 inches of soil and zoysia in it. But... as it stands now, I've got about 3 inches of soil. grass and weeds.
I've got your soil.
Yes.
You I've got yours.
You got it. Yeah, I went down the street while they were building it.
I know. So what else can we do now that I've prepared all that? But what else can we do?
What, in the garden?
Right.
Look, like I said earlier, look at your trees. Look for some seasonal damage. Maybe had a little bit of snow damage on some of your hollies and things. Look for that right now. Look up closely at the branching structure and see if there's conflicting wood on there touching each other.
We don't want that.
You don't want that. It's just kind of an open wound.
It is?
Tree. Oh, yeah, to the tree, yeah. So when the wind blows, they rub against it, and the bark can't have a chance to grow on that. And you're asking for disease.
Asking for a trouble.
Asking for trouble right there, right. So look for that up. Also up in the trees, broken branches, water sprouts and whatnot.
One more question I'll let you get back, but my emerald
arborvitaes.
Yeah. Arborvitaes. Uh-huh. You know, they've gotten really nice. But late fall, one of them, and parts of the other, but not big, just start dying off.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And so I did spray them with the, you know, the dormant.
Okay, dormant oil, yes.
To see. Now, the dead spots are all there, but it's still green in places.
Right. Mm-hmm. There is some susceptibility on the arborvitae to mites. That could have been the problem. Bagworms could also be the problem.
But
I didn't have any bagworms.
I put the
imidacloprid, yeah. I'd so you didn't have any bagworms this year.
Didn't have any bagworms.
Another thing is the sap in the arborvitae, especially the emerald arborvitae, has a very low boiling point. And if this occurred on the west side of the plant,
it did.
It could have gotten just too hot.
But this was late fall that it started doing that.
Sounds to me like it might have been mites. Also, look at the trunk very carefully. Look for holes in the trunk, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been borers or something.
We don't have borers here. I don't have any boars down there where I'm at, do I?
Where are you from, anyway? You're not from around here, are you?
Oh, yeah. I am from here, and I ate my black-eyed peas on New Year's Eve and New Year's. I got double dose of them because I don't want to take a chance.
Well, I don't blame you.
I always thought you were full of beans.
No. Oh. You're not from around here, are you? You eat black-eyed peas on New Year's.
Yes, sir, we do.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Did you get yours?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
I made biscuits, too, gravy.
Did you know my mother, think of this, I was reading about black-eyed peas, mm-hmm. and there's such thing as a black-eyed pea fritter.
Oh.
I know, and I said, I've never heard of it. So I called my mother, because she makes about everything. I said, hey, look up this black-eyed pea fritter, see if you can make some of those. And you use cornmeal and something.
I don't know. Uh-huh.
So anyway, she said, well, it sounds pretty good. And I said, why don't you work on that? So we'll see if she works on that. Sounds good.
Yeah, this New Year's Day, I made iron skillet biscuits.
Did you?
Oh, and sausage gravy. Oh, man. I gotta go dig me some holes to burn all this stuff.
No fat cells in that, is there?
No, nothing at all. I got a lot of work to do to work that off.
But anyway, I did have my black-eyed peas.
Excellent. It's good luck.
And I made sure all my kids and families did. And I mean, we don't want to take a chance. Trust me. We're not taking chances.
No.
Yeah, after last year.
We need all the luck we can get this year.
Anyway, I did mention that to somebody that's not from here, but from further to the north. And they said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, you got to be kidding me. You need to check up on this. No wonder y'all been having such bad luck. You
know, no black-eyed peas?
No black-eyed peas on New Year's.
Well, that's just not right.
I've done that my whole life.
I know, so have we.
My mother said, here, we got to eat these. Mm-hmm. Of course, we grew up in southern Oklahoma, so.
Yeah. Yep, I grew up part of the time in Georgia.
Yeah.
And really my very young years in North Carolina. So.
Yeah.
I know all about that.
All right, Larry, we got to get ready for spring because spring is just around the corner. Anytime we get to January, I always start thinking spring isn't very far off.
It's time to think about your tomatoes you want to pick out for this year, what varieties of tomatoes you might want, peppers and
My garden is all plowed up. I've got it plowed up. I did throw some old grass clippings and different things like that on it to
I got to work on my drip system at home this year. It's 10 years old.
I'm thinking about putting a pre-emergent on it right now.
That would stop a lot of the winter plants that haven't sprouted yet.
Or you can just spray it with Roundup when they sprout.
Before the Bermuda grass comes up, yes.
Yeah.
Or a broadleaf weed control also. The 2,4-D, things like that work also.
Because it'll go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a little bit of henbit around my mailbox. I missed a spot with my
pre-emergent. I saw that, Larry. I saw you. But I do have some henbit around my mailbox, and I could get it.
Yeah, but what in that particular area, in that little parkway, I don't know why they had this little grass thing in between. All it does is eat up edger blades.
So people right now, they could spray their yard. They could spray their yard with Roundup right now, and it's not going to hurt anything.
But it has to be a certain temperature for it to work.
We got to get it now, above 50, really.
Yeah, and this week I think there'll be an opportunity. It's supposed to be kind of warm for a short period of time this week.
And you can spray that, and a lot of those winter weeds and the early spring weeds, like the henbit, won't be there.
Yeah, I've got a place in that little parkway at my house that I'm going to work on this winter because. It could rain 4 inches of rain. 3 days later, it's bone dry.
Rock.
Rock, yeah. So okay. I'm trying to dig that out this winter.
Time, but Happy New Year, Larry, and we're looking forward to a really neat spring.
Happy New Year to you and your family and to the radio station.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to the spring and all the flowering trees, the dogwoods, and the red buds.
And despite all that's going on, I hope we have a prosperous New Year.
Will. You know, the thing about Oklahoma, our state tree is almost like a parasite. You know, they come up everywhere. They just grow wild, don't they? They do. And our state flower is a parasite. It is, the mistletoe.
Yeah.
And then our state bird is a scissor tail, which all it does is eats flies.
It eats flies, so there you go.
We got it down, don't we?
You bet. Oklahomans are definitely
Kansas
innovative.
And to our Kansas listeners, they've got the sunflower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a weed. So
it's kind of a weed. But anyway, here we go. Happy New Year. Springtime and better weather ahead.
All righty. We're going to be back after this 2-minute time out.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. But most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
All right, back to the Green Country Gardener program. It's 8:52. You just never know who's going to drop in.
You bet. We talked about houseplants and patience. Perennial of the week is bamboo.
Bamboo.
Bamboo grows rapidly and voraciously.
Mm.
Yes, it can take over the place.
It can.
There are some groups of bamboo in this town that are really kind of attractive.
Bamboo?
Yeah. Yes, they are, really.
Hey, Larry, yeah. I've got bamboo in a waterway. I put it down by a waterway.
Yeah.
To keep it from washing so bad. And I got to tell you, that stuff has taken off.
Yeah. Well, you got a lifetime supply of fishing poles.
Mine's the, is it black?
So oh, you got the black bamboo?
Is that what
it's pretty. Called? That's a pretty plant, really.
It's not very big, though.
Oh, no, it doesn't get to be a huge plant. I had some in my yard that
I mean, I'm talking about, it gets tall, but it's not that fat.
Right. It probably had a case of the bendovers in the snow, though.
I hadn't looked down there, but it has taken off along a fence row.
It's good for erosion control and things like that. It's introduced in this country by the highway department for that purpose.
So. It's better than that Cerisa lespediza they put out there. Wow, that's awful. Anyway, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
A lifetime supply of fishing poles, huh?
Bamboo has its place in the landscape.
It does.
And it does spread quite a bit. Yeah. And it's very hardy. You can't kill the stuff. Nope. However, I had some in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it had some rather unsavory comments from the neighbors.
Oh, man.
Get that stuff out of here. So my fence rotted away. So I had to replace the fence, and the bamboo was in the way. So I cut it all down. It'll be back. And I put some triclopyr on it when I cut it, within 15 seconds of cutting it.
You have to do that so quickly.
Yeah. And it drew into it, and it killed it.
Huh. Right there.
Effectively gone.
DRT, dead
so,
right there.
So it can be controlled. You can control it physically with some concrete barriers.
Hello.
Yeah, I would go probably 2 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
Either with, a steel edge or a thick polyethylene edge or something like that to help keep it contained. But anyway, there are clumping varieties as well. And the clumping varieties tend to like the shade a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really attractive in the landscape, the bamboo is.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about mine was it was always so full of birds all the time. Mm. They just loved it for cover and all that.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
But anyway, so that's kind of gone. So anyway, bamboo is a very hardy plant, very easy to grow. You can make sheets out of it. You can make clothing, scaffolding for buildings, and fishing poles.
It's
great for making tomato supports, too. So,
1,001 uses for bamboo.
I got a shredder, shredded it up, made great mulch, too.
It did. 1,002.
If you plant some bamboo, it sits for about 3 years, then it kind of takes off.
So just be patient.
Yeah, so.
All right. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this 2-minute timeout.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
8:57, Green Country Gardening Program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass, and he's the expert. What you got for us, Larry?
Well, not only is it time to think about some perennials and annuals and things, it's time to think about the vegetable garden for next year, too.
Oh, yeah, we were talking tomatoes a little bit ago.
Yeah, I had great tomatoes last year.
Yeah.
I grew them in big old black pots,
yeah,
nursery cans, and I used a drip system on them.
Mm-hmm.
Where every day they went a little bit of water. They watered.
Never just
had
enough.
Never had to water them. Every day, and that really worked out well. Mm-hmm. They have these little hose-in timers you can get to connect to your garden hose. And you program them to water mm-hmm. a certain period of time. And that's how I do my drip system.
Hmm.
In parts of the backyard, that is. In the front yard and the big beds, I use a sprinkler timer.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway... So you might consider not only picking out what kind of plants or tomato plants or vegetables you might want to have mm-hmm. next year, but maybe how am I going to water these?
Mm.
What's the most effective way to water them? And I really like to use drip systems in the garden mm-hmm. because they don't spray water out. They just kind of spray it sort of low to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made chiefly of polyethylene. They're easy to do and all mm-hmm. that. So you might consider... having one, either engineering one yourself or maybe having one engineered
for you
to where yeah. you can do that. So they'll go ahead and they're working the water your things too. So, mm-hmm. so not only thinking of the what vegetables to have, but mm-hmm. how to maintain them also.
Yes.
And how to prepare the soil and how much gypsum to put down. We'll get into this a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And some Epsom salts. Tomatoes really respond very well to Epsom salts. So, anyway, that's kind of what's going on in the landscape. Not a whole lot, but it's a good time to think and good time to plan for next year. Anyway, come by the nursery. We're open Friday and Saturday from 10 o'clock to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Or just driving the front. If there's somebody up front, we'll wait on you.
Sure.
Somebody came in the other day, and I didn't have the key to the cash register. But anyway, I was able to check them out through the credit card machine.
Good.
So, anyway... Golly, Tom, good show this week. Golly, keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Larry, and Happy New Year.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227.